Golly, I forgot what it's like to be in a smelly dorm room again.
It's not smelly! I Febreze, man! Give me some credit!
It's clean.
Okay, that's what it is.
It's clean in here.
Golly, it's an overwhelming scent of something. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Other 22.
Oh my gosh.
I am back.
This is exciting.
Kenny's back?
We're back.
Oh yeah.
I'm back?
The Randy's boys back? Are back in town.
Yes.
The boys are back.
I should have
copyright.
That is, yeah, we're about to get struck or something. Yeah.
My singing is not that good.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get this man to join choir for years. All right? This man is like pitch perfect.
Should ask him for a sample, honestly. Just that. Email just, for the just
yeah,
the
email
piece.
Him for just the piece.
Yes. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back and be all together again. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
I miss being here, man. It's been a wild few months. Been a wild spring. I've been on the internship.
I cried when you left.
I cried when I left. And I cried several times during my departure.
I also cried several times during your departure.
I cried on the inside.
I cried at night into my pillow so no one knew.
Oh no, there were tears. The tears were shed. Oh, gosh.
But he's back.
We're back, yeah.
Kind of.
How've you been, pal? How have you been?
I've been good.
Good.
You sure?
Tax season has killed him.
You sure?
He left a piece of his soul behind over there.
Can be honest. This is an honesty podcast. All right? This is a free zone. Let it out.
Here's the thing. And this is kind of the conclusion that I've come to now that I'm like a couple weeks removed from the internship and all the kind of craziness and busyness that came with it is like, it was without a doubt the hardest time of my life and like the hardest I have ever worked for any like continuous period ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it's because you were actually doing a job.
And you're like,
exactly.
And not to mention, you're at an internship at a new place. You've never done the work before. So you have all the new, and then you have to like just jump in at like the hardest time of the year for accounting. And then like, because I mean like the rest of the year for accounting is a little more bearable, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it gets super light outside of busy season. It picks up a little bit in the summer, and that's why they still have summer internships, because you have like a lot of typically nonprofits that have like June year ends. But yeah, after busy season, I mean, everybody takes a vacation. Like it gets super light.
Yeah.
Actually, in I don't know, at least at four of us, I can't speak for other public accounting firms, but I got the sense that like people get a lot of PTO.
Really?
At four of us. But then consequently you have, if you're full-time staff, thankfully this didn't apply to interns, but like you're full-time staff there during busy season, minimum 55 hour weeks.
Ugh. I mean,
charge hour. So you have non-charge time, like when you're not directly working on client work.
Right.
That's different. So that's like mentoring, any of the crap they did for us interns, like that's non-charge time, which interns, that went toward our 40 hours, and we just had to hit 40 hours, and we were good. If you're a staff, it's 55 hours of direct client work.
And that is
every week.
You're averaging, I mean, if you do 5-10s, you're still going to have to come in on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep.
That's
exactly.
Crazy.
So it is a grind, but then it, you know, makes it worth it the rest of the year.
Does it?
I would say so. I mean, I think there's some good seasonality to it, and it made it, the one good benefit that I would say kind of selfishly is that it made the dog days of winter go by really quickly. Those like cruddy cold days, like that is the best time to be inside doing taxes.
Yeah, I'd say like.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the best time to be doing taxes inside. I mean, it's a good time to be inside. I don't know about taxes, but yeah, we can agree to disagree there.
Yeah.
I know you have your interests.
Well, yeah, and I also hate taxes. That's why I did audit.
Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, in any case, like that's if you're gonna kind of front load your working hours of the year.
For sure.
Do it in January when it's like negative 10 out.
So are you going to go into accounting now that you've done this? Or has it switched your perspective?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to go public accounting. I did a internship with like a corporation, so more like private in-house mm-hmm. work last summer with Pellicorp. And that was okay. What I learned with that is just because they're a corporation and not, it's not like everybody does accounting, that the infrastructure wasn't really there for training. I learned so much more at my internship at Forvis than I did at Pellicorp. And I would say I learned a lot more at my internship at Forvis than I have my entire college career thus far. Like, it's insane. So just the potential for growth, the knowledge that you pick up and experience, I think I want to go public accounting for sure. And I don't know that I told you guys this, but I did get a full-time offer from Forvis, which is kind of like, in my mind, like that's the goal of the internship. Like that's the mark that it was a successful internship. So I'm super happy with it. So I've got an internship with another public accounting firm this summer. Thankfully, I don't have to accept the Forvis offer until September. So that gives me time to work at RSM, see if they give me an offer, and then kind of compare, see what my options are. But yeah, yeah, so that was...
That's good.
That was my spring, but it really gave me a lot of perspective, good experience, kind of glimpse into the real world, what it's going to be like working at a full-time job, making money instead of spending it, which is always good.
That is always good.
I'll
be like us brokies back here at the grind place.
We don't need to talk about our expenditures.
Right? Just We've had some expenditures.
College sucks, all right? If you want to burn through money, just go to college.
Yeah.
Just go to college. You can burn through thousands in one semester.
You know, it's tough. I don't want to badmouth Central because there are some things financially that they get right.
I'm just going 100%. But I'm not badmouthing Central. I'm badmouthing colleges in general.
Yeah, I think that colleges. There's just. I mean, obviously, there's some disagreement there. Like, it's just.
Well, that's another interesting deal that I have kind of observed.
Here we go.
In my spring, and this is not. I'm not gonna badmouth Central. Yeah, that's for off the record
disclaimer.
Discussion.
We don't hate Central.
We don't hate
Otherwise
Central.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
That is right.
I hate Central. Completely false.
We talk about Central like you talk about any place that you're at 24/7 in your life. You know, you get tired of it sometimes. You know?
But it's been interesting. So I've seen it a lot in the news. And now also just having some outside perspective, like getting away from campus for an extended period of time and getting a glimpse of the real world and seeing how things like actually work. Colleges across the country, just in general as a like structure,
right,
is rapidly going downhill.
It's declining, actually.
Like, people are leaving college or just choosing not to go to college in our generation in droves.
I recently read a statistic. I don't know how much. I didn't delve into it at all. I just saw it on one of my feeds that due to some changes being made in the FAFSA structure, it's like going to be like a 4% drop in enrollment, in incoming students, not like students that are currently here that may or may not like have to refile their FAFSA. That do have to refile their FAFSA every year. I'm talking about incoming students that like in like some survey that they sent out. It's like a 4% drop. Which if you think about, I mean, people don't think that that's that important. People be like, oh, 4%'s not that much. Well, 4% is a huge amount for a place that operates on margin, right? Mm-hmm. So you think.
Also, the bigger the college, the worse it is.
Yeah, I mean.
Exactly. Now, is FAFSA. I'm not super familiar, but can you apply the FAFSA to like trade schools, or is that just your traditional 4-year?
It depends. So there is some, I believe, like the I could be corrected, but there is some, like, it depends. Like DMAC and like community college level, is like those
accepted.
Are accepted, but like a true trade school, it could be a little different.
I don't think. it's the same at a trade, like an actual trade
an school. An actual trade. Yeah. We think of trade schools as like DMAC and Indy Hills. Those aren't like actual.
They're community college.
They're community college.
Right, right,
a true trade school, like a place that like you're going there, you're just going to be a welder. And you're going there for like a year, 2 years, and then you're going to be a welder. And you are probably a welder at your job.
Right.
I don't know if that's the same.
I don't think so.
Some of those places, though, too, like the really good ones, they, like, you make income from your classwork.
Yes.
Like, it's like on the job training, literally.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if the college is paying you or I don't know how all that works.
I do have some experience with this. Like, my family is in the sprinkler fitter trade. Well, at the sprinkler fitter trade, the apprenticeship is 5 years. During the apprenticeship, you're actually enrolled in a college, technically. You receive a degree.
Oh, dang.
They do it through a program. I think it's the same one that I get a scholarship from them through, or I have received in the past. And I'm not going to like name the college outright, but I do know that it is a legitimate college, and technically you're enrolled, and they send you your schoolwork. You complete lessons, and you sometimes go in person to certain classes, and you will just do that. But then you also you work during the week. You work 40 hours. You work however many hours, just like anybody else, and you're paid as an apprentice, and then you just kind of move up.
I mean, that's the same with, like, electrician, too.
Yeah, and the electrician, HVAC, any of those, like, that's a legit. Like, when you think of trade school, that's, like, the normal route that they take nowadays. They don't normally – like, if you don't want to go to college and you want to do a trade instead, or if you want to get into some sort of a skilled craftsmanship-like type job, that is that seems to be the route that most of them are taking. Because what you then have is you have someone that works and actually makes an income for themselves, and then they get you that – degree. You take the lessons along the way, and the company and the unions have the companies that do that and the unions have something worked out to where, you know, while you're an apprentice, you don't make as much as a regular journeyman.
Sure.
But you do make money.
Well, and gosh, you're making money instead of spending it. Like, in any case. And once you get out of that apprenticeship program, like, the trades are paying pretty good right now.
Oh, they pay amazingly. Like, they pay very well.
It's a good career path, and I don't know if it's. I guess I don't know what triggered it. If it was COVID or if it was, I mean, I don't want to obviously dive into this, but if it was some of the like, it seemed like colleges got a lot of focus with like all the Israel and like anti-Semitism stuff. I think COVID was part of it. I don't know if the Israel stuff was part of it.
There could be a political aspect to it. I mean,
I think what you're seeing is in our generation, like, people are kind of rethinking the economic value proposition of it. Like, what am I actually getting for this degree? Right. And that's where, like, I want to be loud and clear. I do not regret coming to Central College. I don't regret going to college. Like, in my particular field, you got to have a college degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of these fields where you don't necessarily need a college degree, or you can go, like, if you would rather go into the trades, you can go into the trades and do that and make a great living. I mean, you can go do that, but I think some of these majors are going to get dropped, dude, because you don't make jack squat out of college, or you just don't use the degree at all. Like, what's the value there? I think people are starting to realize that.
Well, and I agree with you there, but I also think it has a lot of people are going into trades and stuff because they are just sick of high school.
Right.
I don't really necessarily I think it has a lot to do with what you're talking about, but I also think it has a lot to do with them just not wanting to do more schooling.
Yeah.
So what's a quick way to get some sort of advantage and make some money? Trades. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm actually – trades are good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of freaking work.
Yeah,
there's no, you're breaking your back day in, day out with no matter what trade you go into. It's a manual labor. And some people don't realize how demanding it is when you get into that. So I'm thankful I went to college because, you know what, I grew up on a farm. So I understand what manual labor is. And I don't want to truly do that for my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just tough. I mean, I've already found out how tough it is, and I would not do that.
Yeah.
It's but you're also in a major where you're going to use your degree.
Well, that's right. Fair. And I think a lot of that has to do with just being smart about it.
Right.
Yes. Like, when
right.
you come into college, you should look into doing a degree that is going to get you somewhere. Even if you switch,
mm-hmm.
do a degree that's going to get you somewhere.
Yeah.
People, I think people go into college sometimes with the mindset that, like, oh, I'm just going to come in here, and I'm just going to take some classes, and my interest is going to fall at my feet. And I don't think that's the right approach. I think the correct approach is I'm going to college. I'm actively seeking out the mm-hmm. major I want. If you haven't figured out a major by, say, the end of your freshman year, you've had an opportunity to take 8 to 9 classes in different fields.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, and the way the liberal arts is structured, you're just covering your liberal arts at that point. And mm-hmm. so you should – that's why the liberal arts is the way that it is to some degree, is that it provides that well-rounded education, but it also gives you an opportunity to explore. And people fail to take advantage of that because they just take the class and they're disengaged for the first year because they're like, oh, I got 4 years to figure this out. Well, yeah. Sophomore year, second semester rolls around. You got to declare and you're not ready.
Right.
And – I think that the correct approach is engage in the classes that you're taking your freshman year, first semester, second semester, your sophomore year, first semester,
mm-hmm.
and actively take an active role in seeking out what you want to do. Don't wait for it to come find you because it's not going to come find you, right?
Right.
I think that too many people want to just ride it out and think that somebody is going to tell them what they're interested in. And they just don't end up finding it, and then they're really fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not saying that, like, okay, if you're not figured it out by the second semester of your sophomore year, there is no hope for you. No, there's hope. There are people that have switched later.
I was going to say, I'm gonna play devil's advocate there, knowing that I switched later.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not hope for you. Like, you can definitely get the job done. You can figure it out and do it within the 8 semesters allotted, but mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want to wait. Like, I don't think waiting is – I think like, obviously, like, there's going to be things that happen. There's extenuating circumstances, but
– I say pick 2 or 3 majors that you necessarily enjoy or can see yourself finding a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Searching out those few classes. Take one of each or a couple mm-hmm. of each or whatever in those first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have to declare. At yep. one of them you like. Because I declared as a business major,
mm-hmm.
business management, mm-hmm. and I switched to communications. However, I was already taking communication classes.
Right.
Realized I liked that a little more, and I already had the minor in business management.
Well, and that's going to help with your course progression, too. You're not exactly. going to have to stay for an extra
semester, an extra year.
Yeah, however, like, unless you want to. But I think it's just coming back to, like, you got to view college or whatever post-secondary education you're going to get as an investment, and what kind of return do you want that investment to get, not just monetarily but also from, like, quality of life,
yeah,
like
socially,
what do you enjoy to do? But, like, at the end of the day, you do have to make money, and that's, like, coming back to the point with the trades, like, the wages for that have been increasing dramatically over the past couple years, and that's changing the value proposition when you're looking at, am I going to go to a college and pay, I don't know, $80,000 to $100,000 for my education for who knows what?
Yeah.
Or am I going to go into the trades and get paid for an apprenticeship program, get paid to be educated?
Yeah.
And then come out of there still making, I don't know, 60, 70 grand for some of these trade jobs?
Yeah. And a lot of companies are doing this with the degrees that you have now. Like, you can, in a lot of companies, if you they do it as a way to get you to stay, to decrease employee turnover,
mm-hmm.
They will, because I have a friend that's going to do this, I think, or he's talked about doing it, and what it is basically you stay X amount of years in the company. The company mm-hmm. then says, okay, we will pay for up to this amount for you to take this many classes at
sure.
a college of your choosing for mm-hmm. you to obtain this level of degree. It's either an associate's, I think it's an associate's level degree.
It's yeah. associates.
And most of the time it's an associate's. Every once in a while they'll let you, if you have an associate's, finish out a bachelor.
Sure.
But basically it's to get you that 2 years of education while you work for them. They pay for it. They decrease employee turnover and they make an investment in you so you yeah. feel that company loyalty.
Exactly.
A lot of companies are moving towards that because, again, you're
John Deere was the first to move towards this.
Yeah, that's a way for you to invest in yourself, so you feel like you're getting something out of the company, and the company is getting something out of you, which is brand loyalty. You're not going to leave when they're actively paying for your classes.
Well, and a lot of those have agreements, too, that, like, you got to stay.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to prevent employee turnover. You can get any of those arrangements, like, that...
Oh, that is
any arrangement where you can have someone pay for your education or be paid to be educated.
That's like the way to do it.
I have a buddy who decided right out of high school he was just going to go work. So he worked for Winnebago, which is
it was RVs, right?
RVs.
Campers, sort of stuff. Mostly RVs. And so he went right on the line, started working, mm-hmm. tried to work his way up, kind of struggled, realized that wasn't what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he realized he did not want to sit on the line his entire life. So he went out, went to trade school, was going to become an electrician.
Sure.
So he went to that. He's there right now. And now he's decided that's not what he wants. And he's going into missionary now. So now he's going to become a pastor.
Oh, dang.
So he's taking a route, per se. But yeah. It's more like just trying things out. The faster mm-hmm. you can try things out, the further you're going to be along in life, especially if you decide to go to college or not. Because, he decided not to. He thought it was dumb. He thought spending that much money was not necessary. Mm-hmm. And then he found out, I don't want to break my back every day. It's like, fair enough. Yeah. So he decided to go to college. And then he figured out that what he thought he wanted wasn't what he wanted. Now he's doing something else. So, I mean, it's more of just trying different things and realizing what you want to do. If you think you want to go into trades, I suggest you go into trades as fast as possible.
Yes.
And then find out whether you actually want to be there or not. And mm-hmm. if you don't, take the money you've made, go at least to a community college,
mm-hmm.
find something you want to do,
mm-hmm.
and then if you want to continue that, go to a four-year and finish it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing, too, just a dissipation of this, like, expectation that you go to college. I think there, like, it was the norm for a while, or there was this big push that, like, everybody needs to go to college. And that is rapidly dissipating. And that that seems like a post-COVID
thing. That's a post. The push to go to college was post-World War II with the GI Bill, and then post-Vietnam. You had a lot of young guys coming back, and they didn't have an education post-secondary. And so in order to get a job, they needed to be educated. So the government took the huge GI Bill. You get to go to school, and you're in the military. You know, yada, yada, yada. Long story short, that is kind of, obviously, that's kind of flipping because mm-hmm. as the economy shifts to the needs of what it needs, it naturally is going to be less or more fitting for certain numbers of people to go to college.
Right.
So it's not always beneficial for every single person in a class to go to college. We talked about this a lot. This was a movement that I saw at my high school was mm-hmm. a lot of kids that I grew up with, I mean, they didn't end up going to college, or if they did, they went to like I knew a guy that went in for like an ag-related subject. I knew a guy that went in like he did ROTC. So there
What's
are a
wrong
lot
with
of
egg related subjects.
Well, I'm not saying that it's wrong.
No, you got something wrong with the egg related subjects.
That's one of my friends.
You wanna fight right now, Randy? Arson, I'll fight.
He's more ag than you. He works on a ranch.
Who gives a crap? I could have worked on a ranch too. Did I want to? No.
No, he went to the Graceland Ag program, and he is he's a farmer fella, that's for sure.
I was going to go to Dort for the same thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Dort program.
Yeah, I was going to go to that.
It's obviously NAIA, the inferior track and field and cross country and programs, but they have a good ag program. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, like I have multiple people who went to college but didn't really go to college for the same like classical reasons, like
mm-hmm.
they're not going for like a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of whatever, you know, the classicals.
I think that's also something too, is like people tell you need a degree and they sit there and they shove these technical terms like associates and bachelors and all these other terms, and it's like, or masters, and it's like they don't talk about the actual majors.
Yeah.
Like, they just sit there, you need this degree, you need an associate's or a bachelor's, you need to do something, but they don't talk about the majors. Yeah.
Or so how much like, money you expect to make after graduation.
So it's like with your high school classmates who went into specific things, that's what I think people nowadays need to do. They need to think of specific things they might want to do later on in life, and they need to pursue something that's going to get them at least close.
Right.
Yeah. And that may mean going to college. Like, that's accounting, you got to have, if you want your CPA, it's got to be 150 credit hours from some accredited university institution.
For sure.
So, like, that, darn it, I was going to college whether I liked it or not. But, I think it's going to be good in the long run, because while you may see a drop in enrollment numbers, what's going to happen is you're going to have the students that you do have, I think in the long run, are going to stay, and they're going to be better fits for college.
Right.
And they're going to be better off in the long run. You're probably going to lose some majors and probably going to lose some programs, because you're going to have to focus on the majors that actually generate income.
Yeah.
But then the students that you have are going to be better off. And in the long run, that's probably going to lead to a better alumni donor base.
Sure.
It's going to make the students happier. I think in the long run, it's going to be good, because you're having a realignment of kind of like a bringing everything back to reality, and a realignment of, like, Randy, what you brought up, the needs of society and the needs of the students.
Right.
Or I guess not students if you're going straight into the workforce. Yeah. But it's been interesting to see, and the whole being away from campus for a while kind of gave me the perspective on that. Because when you're on campus for a while, you kind of tend to think that this campus, this college, is how everything works.
Well, I mean, for you, it is our entire life. And so exactly, it's good to get that outside perspective.
Yeah. Speaking of college, someone's coming back. I don't think we've discussed that.
Yeah.
Coming back.
So here's the thing. I talked to Coach Dunham. I'm gonna come back for cross next fall, with an asterisk.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him.
Ah, I didn't know that.
So, here's the thing. I've been like running recreationally. I have kept training, because running is still a part of my life. I still enjoy doing it.
Even though you said you were going to focus on biking, but that's not the point.
Well, biking is an aspect of
it.
And you can't really. It's tough to do over the winter.
Yeah,
it is.
But that my knee injury that sidelined me sophomore year was still bugging me. It's been bugging me ever since it happened. Yeah. Never. I mean, I would find things that were good things to address and fix with form or different, like, strengthening different muscles, whatever. And I think all that has helped, but the knee still hurts. So there's something still not right in there, and it's still been bugging me even though I've been running recreationally. And that's a big problem, because I want to run. Even if I'm not doing it competitively, I still want to do it.
Sure.
If this injury is going to be there, that's a problem.
It's quality of life.
Right? Exactly. So I've got
a
doctor's
appointment. When God was making us, he just decided, he goes, good looks, yeah, we'll put a little bit in there. You know, humor, we'll put a lot in there. You know, let's just dump the cord in there. And then when he put the bone structure, he's just like, just a drop with us. It's like, just put a drop. They don't need good bone structure. Good muscles.
It's all about challenges and trials in your life, Larson. You gotta be tested to be good metal. You know,
Larson, look, I know. We've known each other for a while. Okay?
I feel like a forge guy put me in. He was building this nice sword, and then realized there was a crack in the frame. It's just, and had to scrap the entire project. That's how I feel.
I don't think God caused the crack, though. I think the crack happened when you jumped down two flights of stairs in Weller and banged your knee against the railing.
That was legendary, though, wasn't it?
It was legendary.
I think that is probably what.
But I had problems before.
I know you have.
That's
problems.
That's not chin problems and back problems, and I might have a head problem too. I don't
off
know.
A flight.
We don't need to talk about that. You know, I've had other problems, and so is Randy, and so have you, and I just, again, I feel like when God was making us, he did not make us with good bone structures or good muscle structures.
I think that
I feel like he forgot to add that in there.
I think that to some degree, it's just like more of a matter of like, We talked about form in the last one, and I'm like, yeah. I think that there's just not enough education in running specifically about form-related injuries. I am, like, the yeah. more research I do on it, I'm more and more convinced, like, it doesn't exist out there, guys. Like, there's not a lot of conversation around, like, how certain form and how certain ways of running can really impact you, and how, again, like, certain muscle imbalances and weaknesses can cause problems.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, like, it was a huge problem because I was using the wrong muscles for the longest time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just getting away with it because of the way I was training. But as you get put on a lot of mileage, it starts to become a problem.
And I'll agree with you. I do think it has a lot to do with form, but I also just have to think, like, not all of it's because of form. Like, some of the stuff would have happened regardless, just based off training and based off of what's going on, and just based off what your muscles and your bones can take. I mean, not everybody can take the same stuff. So, I mean, a lot of it does have to do with form. I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I also just, at some point, you also have to just be like, is your body able to take this? Because, like, let's look at some wrestlers. This is right up your field.
Right up my alley.
A lot of wrestlers, no matter the form they're taking, no matter the right procedures, no matter the training, a lot of them tear MCLs, that's ACLs,
that's
a lot
of
knee,
like, a
problem.
Risk of the sport.
Well, and that's what I mean. And it's just how much can your body take, much can... So, I mean, at some point, it's also that. I agree with you, it's a lot with form, but at some point, it's also how much can your body take of what you're doing.
Well, and sometimes you just have to assume there's risk in the sport, because in order to perform at the highest levels that your body can achieve, you the more, basically, it's like a dial, but the, like, an RPMs on a car, right?
Right.
The more RPMs you put on a car, the closer you're getting to the red line, the worse off you can, the harsher you're treating your engine, and the more likelihood there is for some sort of problem to arise.
I think we just hit our red line.
I just had to put some juice in the engine, man. I just had to do some calf raises, apparently, is all I needed to do. No, there's a lot more to it than that, but.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was happening with me, too, and I think to some extent that might have been it. I think that sophomore season I kind of got greedy with the miles and was putting on maybe more miles of just solid running and not as much cross-training as I should have been, but... Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it took care of some of that form stuff, some of the, like,
Mr.
ancillary
weak
muscles.
Hips.
Exactly.
That's what they said to me.
I mean, that's what they said to me, too.
Exactly. Weak hips. So I did some work on that, which I think has really helped getting the hips aligned and getting them stronger. Been doing a lot more in the weight room to try to work on that, too. But then it was still hurting even just doing recreational running, like 20 to 30 miles a week. And that's a problem. So I've got a doctor's appointment. It's next Monday now.
Didn't they take an x-ray?
It took an x-ray, took an MRI, and I forget the, like, formal medical term for it, but basically I've got a deformed meniscus since birth. So no tear or anything, at least not that they saw, but basically it's a deformed meniscus that can get aggravated with physical activity.
Kenny's basically saying he was deformed from birth.
I am, and so
we all knew.
So
we all knew.
But there are things. So basically,
Randy, you owe me $5. I called it. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going in to see the doc next Monday. Gonna figure out what we can do about it. I'm hoping is that they can, like, just go in and shave it down, because basically it's. Too big. I've got a problem with things being too big. That's kind of so
comedy.
Like your brain and your ego.
I'm hopeful that they can go in and out and, I don't know, just, like, shave it down or something. Like, just do something to, like, fix it, because it's not like I've addressed kind of everything around it that could be causing it. All the muscular stuff, all the hip structural stuff. Like, there's just something in the knee that needs to be fixed.
For sure.
If I can get that fixed, like, I'm freaking good to go. Like, I'll do all the training, I'll do whatever, like, I'm back.
That would be
back.
That'd be
ladies and gentlemen.
Apart from that, like, I mean, I know, like, I'm big on, like, the training and the running and running for the team, but I'm like, we're getting older now, and mm-hmm. the more we talk about this, the more I'm like, you know, I would really just love to be able to just run a marathon later in my. I'd really just want to run a five. I want to be good at my local 5K. You know, I want to be.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be
that. I don't want to hear about old,
bro. Right? That is in jeopardy right now. We are about to
hear about it.
We are not winning. Literally. Clomping anytime soon.
No. Well, Larson's not even doing it this year.
I'm not.
He can't. He can't convince
him. Don't
want him. To. He needs it.
No, I'm
he
not doing it.
He needs the competition.
There ain't no,
I've tried.
Ain't no way.
I've tried.
Ain't no way.
But yeah, so they're just going to like...
But don't talk to me about old people, all right? Don't talk about me getting old, all right?
Put it on the poll. Should Larson do the clomping?
No, we're not polling this. There's no way you can convince me.
Coming out as this episode comes out.
I'm not doing this. No, it's not going to. I don't care what you guys say on the Instagram. I don't care what you say. If they do create a poll, not doing it. Sorry, guys.
Well, the poll just pops
Sorry
up.
To waste your.
Just go ahead and give her a vote.
Sorry and, to waste your moment. We'll, sorry to waste your time.
The least we can do is guilt him.
Yeah, exactly.
He guilted me last year, and I'm not letting it happen again.
It was like glorious. It was like,
he guilted me so hard because I was like, I'm not doing it. And he goes, no, you need to. Like, you don't have. Yeah.
Didn't
like,
you? You beat Asa that.
I did beat Asa by
so
like.
It was a moment of triumph.
It was like 0.7.
I don't know if it was. It was like 0.7 seconds.
It was a triumph.
Yeah, but yeah.
And we both threw up directly after we got done. Like, it sucked. Although I will say
agonizing.
The strategies of us, our racing strategies, cool. got blown up in the first mile as I had not been running at anywhere in the 6 minute paces for quite some time, and neither had Asa. I looked at my watch when I hit a mile. And I saw 6:24 and knew I was dead. I was like, there ain't no way I just ran a 6:24. And I was like, this next 2 miles is going to be, excuse my language, hell. It will be horrible. I am going to die. There's no question. And I did.
Agonizing.
It went so bad. And Asa also saw like 7 flat or like just under that. And he hadn't been running anywhere near that for a while. So both of him and I went way too fast. And it blew up in our faces. But yes, I did outkick him in the end. It was a glorious kick. I outkicked him in the finish. It was great.
Is Lisa doing it this year?
He says he is.
He says he's going to do it. He says he's doing it. And Matt are doing it, so there'll still be a showdown.
I just don't want to... I'm going to be honest. I don't want to get last... in that showdown. I'm not about putting myself in that. I beat Asa last year, and that's how I'm gonna keep it.
Tide's going up. But yeah, so back to the ideals at hand. They're basically, so they're gonna just like shave it down, and maybe
that's what I hope.
Maybe that's the solution, or they're gonna do something. I think that meniscus is at least if it's a meniscus, I mean, nothing's a good sign, but it's better than like a bone structure thing. Like, if it was just like a bone structure thing where it's like your bones are just not compatible with the shock absorption.
Right.
Because I know that's a real thing. There's a thing called being bow-legged, which I have like slightly.
What don't you have?
Well, they found it like during my one of my evaluations when I was like doing gait analysis stuff, is that I was a little bow-legged.
But like, I'm serious. What don't you have?
A little bow-legged in the shins.
Every time you go see the doctors, it feels like
they find something new.
They find something new. This guy's all
messed up. My medical rap sheet is like, some bars could be spit on that.
You know Melvin from Madagascar?
That's
I feel
me.
Like
he's Melvin.
I wake up every morning. I wake up every morning. I'm like, let me get my meds. I wake up every morning and I take a cold shower and stretch. I have to do that every morning to keep myself all put together.
Whatever you got to do,
it's
man.
Crazy.
And I'm hopeful that after this, I'll be at a spot where I'll be put back together. We'll see.
But to throw it out there,
yeah.
If you can't run, you should still be a part of the team. You and I could be co-managers, and we could live life.
Larson's coming back.
No, I don't
awesome.
Know. Maybe, he's probably.
Dog
I don't know.
Him. He's got it. You gotta come back.
Kenny's
coming
telling
back.
Me that.
I'm coming back.
Everyone keeps
Everyone's
telling me
coming
that.
Coming back.
We'll see. I'm
can you
not.
Go on, can
promising.
You go on a team trip if you're a manager?
Oh, surely.
It's a team thing. It's not. It does not have anything to do. Like, it's an us thing.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the
it's
actual...
Coach doesn't, like, sanction that or anything.
Yeah,
so we
it's
get
not
to basically,
sanctioned by
I mean,
college. It's our choice. It's basically a guy's trip. We just call it team trip.
Yeah.
is basically a guy's trip to get the freshmen to know everybody. So it would be my choice.
But, I mean, if you guys were, like, decided to be managers, we'd probably still be able to get you guys on board because you're both, like, obviously going to travel and you're going to be members of the team. So I think that that would be fine. But apart from that, that's not going to matter because you're both going to run.
That's not...
You're going to be champions.
That's... I'm not... I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try.
29:50 next year from Larson.
But I'm not going to promise anything until closer to next year.
I can't wait, Larson, when you cross the finish line at conference and it says 29:50. Because he's got that dog in him.
You see, I would love that.
That would be so cool.
I would love that. But my ego got a little squashed last
his last arc. Year.
Yeah, so did mine. That's why I quit. I'm not blaming you. That's
my ego at conference.
Sometimes you just gotta get humbled to come back.
That was more of a shotgun to the face rather than a humbling moment. It's not like I got hit with a bat. Someone shot me. I mean, I got shot.
He was humbled in a very aggressive manner. No, I mean I get it. Like, we've all been there, you know. It's tough.
I stepped on a landmine and kept walking. That's what happened.
Were in rough shape. I remember it that.
That was a tough race.
The worst part is once they got me into, because I knew there were people running by me, but I could not see them.
Mm-hmm.
I was in tears. I was on the ground. Once they got me onto the gator, like the medical gator, to take me to the AT room tent. You want to know who the first person that came by was? Once they got me up there and I actually could see, like, people, this man right here, it was the worst experience for me in my life to lock eyes with Randy as he's running by, just to see me sitting in that ATV, just being like, it's on you now, like, I'm done, like, I'm in so much pain, like, the worst, like, I wish he would have already went by. But I literally got in there, I sat up, I looked over, and him and I just locked eyes. It was immediately.
I
was
like, oh, I'm dying.
Was that the one when you, didn't you have like an asthma?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was dying too, and I could tell. But literally, the minute I look up and look to my left, him and I lock eyes directly.
Oh my God.
That was a tough race for the boys.
That is rough.
It was like, you couldn't have already gone by or still coming, like, what the heck. It was sad. It was horrible. It's like,
moment.
I don't want you to see me like this. This is bad. This is not
yeah
me.
That was but, a ter- I was yeah that he was agonizing.
He was dying. I literally died. I couldn't walk for like two three days after.
I remember some of the race. I remember the first mile pretty crisp and clear. Like, the first mile,
yeah,
was fine.
So do I.
I was right there with everybody. I was actually in a really good position. Like,
you and I were running together for a while.
I was right there. Mm-hmm. And then the first mile, the second mile hit, and I just, like died hard. So
did
hard.
Did you run conference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he ran conference. I remember. He ran conference, and then both of us ended up, like, we just didn't make the regionals team. We just weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember
that, man, because, like, I made a move coming up over the hill after 1 mile, and you didn't go with me. And I thought you were, like, right behind me.
I did not. I tried to chase you. I just didn't have it in me. I should go back and look at it, and I can tell you the exact splits. But it was, like, 5:14, which was, like, normal for us, or 5-something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it was, like, 5:47, and then it was, like, in the sixes for the rest of the thing. And I don't really recall miles like 2 3/4 to like mile like to like the start of mile 4 somewhere after we got around the softball fields, we got down and some dude passed me. I remember that moment, and then I remember like that part, because then a couple of guys on the team came by me and I was like, okay, I just gotta focus on like following them.
Because
that was the second lap. We were going around, go up Hawkeye Hill again, and I remember that part.
That's where you saw me.
And I was chasing Moose and Blake Creed. And I was like, I was right on Moose, just like the whole time, just like following him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just suffering. It was like just terrible. It was not an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, that's where you saw me.
That was, yeah. And there was just like, I was like totally out of it too. Like I could hear people, but I couldn't hear. I was like totally focused on just like, I had to focus on Moose because I was like, if I don't like stay focused, I think I'm going to pass out. And like, I couldn't, like, you don't know that you're having an asthma attack when you're in the midst of an 8K. Yeah. If, when you're in the midst of an 8K, all you're thinking about is how to finish the race. And so right. it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I wasn't like panicking. I was more just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to finish this race? And I already knew I was having a really bad race. So it was more just about like, I just have to just stick with this guy.
Yeah,
that was.
But Kenny had a decent race.
Kenny had a good race.
Kenny had a great race.
Kenny didn't have a bad race.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of. Yeah, it was decent.
It was decent. But. So one guy quit. We had one guy finish at decent at a decent time. We had one guy who barely finished
in zero and regional was dying
team spots. And doesn't remember and doesn't remember half his race. And then there's a guy who didn't finish, and.
Chooses
not to remember any of his races.
I keep thinking that I will, like, one day it will come back to me, but it never has. Like, I do not, like, my mom, I remember passing my mom, and she said, if you need to step off, you should. And I was, like, shook my head, no, I'm not stepping off after, like, the first one we got
up.
Well,
I think you, the second time you went up. When you and I locked eyes, like, we, like, nodded. I don't know if you remember that, but nodded at each other.
Because after I came up past you, my mom said that. And then, like, after that point, I'm like, I'm struggling. I just don't, like, I just don't recall it. Like, remember people, like, passing
me. I want to say I remember your motivation.
The only thing I remember is a guy in a blue jersey passed me. That's, like, the moment that I wake up. I don't remember going up around the softball fields, like, at all.
Be like, I was your motivation to finish that race.
Normally, like, it's just weird because normally you remember like all the race and you remember at least bits and pieces of the entire race. But I just like, I don't know. That's like the first time that one's ever happened. That was a little scary, but
I remember when we went past the first time going around the fields, and I was just like, I was already in pain. My leg hurt, and I was like, I just don't know. Like, I thought about just quitting right there because there was hardly anybody. Mm-hmm. And I thought about, like, just quitting right there. And I don't remember. Some guy, like, ran by me and just like, hey, like, let's keep going. Like, let's do this. And I, like, shook my head. And I was like, I got to finish this race. Like, I have to finish this race.
It's hard.
And I got going again. And I remember I went past Minnie and my leg just shooting pain. And I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
And then I turn around the corner and it's Hawkeye Hill for the second time, and I'm like, this is not good. The further I went up, the more pain that was shooting through my leg. I have never experienced a worse pain. Like, you guys know how bad of pain I was in the year before at that conference race. It was much worse.
The worst thing about stress fractures is that the likelihood of you actually breaking your leg isn't what's bad about it. It's the level of pain that you have to tolerate. Because stress fractures, I don't think people understand the difference. Shin splints is like when the ligaments in your body separate from the bone. And after that happens, you begin to absorb more shock in the bone, right?
Which causes
the stress fracture for most people. My case was slightly different, but it was basically that. But the difference is once you're in a shin, if you have a shin splint, once you run through it for about a mile, it tends to just go away. The pain tends to lessen. After the shin splint develops into a stress fracture, the stress fracture tends to increase gradually, and it gets worse over time. And so that the pain level starts out at a certain point and only rises afterwards.
Yeah,
It does not settle. It does not go away. It progressively, slowly but progressively gets worse. And the more movement you do, the worse it gets. Yeah. And I know you know that. I mean, we've all dealt with that, but it's like, it sucked.
Yeah.
I was happy you had a good race.
I was happy that we survived. We had a good conference run. People had good races. I was like, that's what matters to me. Like, at this point, obviously.
I don't remember if anybody's listening to this. It might have been Annika's mom, to be fair. But I don't remember what parent came over and threw their jacket on me at the AT tent. But thank you. If you're listening to this, thank you. Because it was cold.
It was so cold.
I mean, I know I was shaking and crying because of the emotional, like, it was my last, it was, I thought, going to be my last race.
But it's
and
not.
I didn't finish. And I didn't finish. It probably is. But
no, it's
and
not.
I didn't finish. And I don't know. I was in there. It's, I think it was Annika's mom, but I can't be for sure. But one of the parents came up and threw their heated jacket over me. And it just felt so nice and comforting. And I just want to say thank you.
Yep. So
even though you're both your moms, say thank you to both your moms, actually, because they came up to me, gave me hugs in the tent. But yeah.
What a time
for the boys.
What a time for the
and guys. Now we're back.
Next yes. year at conference is going to be so much more fun than that.
Mm-hmm. Disc golfing and being accountants and yeah. more disc golfing.
Yeah, we have the...
Y'all got a tournament this weekend.
Yeah, so we haven't really... We just
wish
put
Kenny
this,
was going to come.
We put this on the podcast. He could, but...
He could.
He's got other obligations, which yeah, is also okay.
Which is fair.
We literally started this tournament.
This was a thrown-together tournament.
A week and a half ago.
Everything we have done for the disc golf club has happened in like the last month. I mean, everything has been.
Y'all have done a lot too.
Yeah,
like
it's a fully functioning club now. It has equipment. It has
people.
Tournament. It has people. I mean, we got names. We got emails. We got an email group list. We got everything. Like it's.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It has documents now. It has like bylaws. It has the whole shebang.
We went out in the last month. I mean, we've been going nuts.
It has, like, I wrote up disc golf tournament rules. I wrote up, like, pair rules, individual
and we
rules.
Have, I believe, 10 teams as of right now.
Yeah.
That are going to participate.
Oh, dang. That's good
11.
Numbers.
Yeah. Because
each team's team of two, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Dang, that's really
good. So, Dub, I think it's at 11.
How's the weather?
We're at about 22
each people. Day?
It's going to be a nice day out. 59 is the high, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day. And little to no wind. So.
Yeah, 6 miles
per
hour.
Nice,
yeah,
man.
It'll be good. It'll be good. Because, yeah, we have. If my math is correct, there's 10 on the sign, or there's 9 on the sign up,
mm-hmm.
and then Randy and I are going to participate with
okay.
whatever capacity we do,
mm-hmm.
and I believe there's one other team, and I've also heard of some people saying they're interested, so we could
okay.
get
yeah.
more people that just show up. So
there's a good likelihood
we could end
walk-ons.
Up with close to 30 people.
Yeah,
I mean, which is... I'm happy with the numbers we have.
My hope was that we'd get to 10 teams, and we've already basically reached
we've
that.
We've basically reached that.
And then my upper limit was like 15. If we get more than 15, I don't know. We're going to have to figure something out because that's a huge influx. We haven't
right.
really decided on the number of prizes yet. Basically, we're just basing it off of the number of teams that show up and turn
sure.
out.
Yeah,
I would like to keep it below. I'm not going to name the percentage of teams that I want to keep it, like the percentage of teams with prizes versus the ones that don't, because I don't want people to make decisions based off of that.
Right.
But like,
as of right now, we're still sticking with the top three.
Yeah, that's basically what we're at. We might move that should there be, should we reach a certain threshold, that'll be a discussion that we might bump it up. One or two or maybe three if it gets really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we're really trying to stick in that. That three range, I feel like that's fair. I feel like that shows, like, that gives good recognition to the best teams, but also gives
yeah.
everybody technically an opportunity for, like, third. I mean, fighting for second or third or first. Like, obviously
yeah.
there will be a big push for first, but the
everyone's
that,
basically pushing for second. No offense.
There's a team out there that's pretty good. So
there's a team out there that's if they don't win.
I'll be shocked.
I know of one other good, like, really good team that just signed up today. But even then, I don't know.
We got some guys.
And it's just current Central students.
Yeah,
right?
We got some current Central students that play in real tournaments. So, and the, some guys that
and
are, like,
do well.
Golfers on the team that cross to, like, disc golf as a hobby.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, they're a little better than the average individual. You know, I run... So, like, this is not, like, my primary thing.
But it should be.
It should be.
I run because I'm uncoordinated, so I don't think disc golf is really...
Let's go pro.
Disc golf is a great way to build your coordination.
I couldn't go pro.
I could get there, but it would take time. I'm not good enough with some of my...
But when Kenny gets back into town, he's going to be doing more disc golf with us, too.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and I would have joined you guys this weekend, but I got some stuff I got to take care of, obligations,
which is fair. But it, if you ever want to come back, I disc golf pretty much every day.
Every day,
pretty much.
We do disc golf every single day.
Y'all got to come up to Des Moines sometime.
I know we got to.
We've thought about it and we've talked about it.
We just have never just been able to iron the bullet. Out of time. Because,
but we want to.
Is like we got practice, and then we got on the weekends we have races, and then
it's really hard to, like, I could,
mm-hmm.
but like for Randy and some of the other guys on the team, it gets hard to balance all that.
Y'all still got off days on Thursdays?
We do still have our off days on
Thursdays. But he still has classes.
I still have my class till 3:45. I have class. I literally have class from 2:30 to
3:45. Who
needs classes? It's brutal.
Who needs classes? I don't need
classes. I don't hate the class. I wish the time frame of the class was 1 to 2:15. That would be so nice.
That's a rough. I don't like that they made that move, because they just this year made the move to move that block up to end at 3:45 instead of 3:30.
I know.
That's awful.
I know. I don't know why they did that. They used to be 2:15 to 3:30, mm-hmm. and it used to be 12:45 to 1, I think, was what it was.
Or it was
12:30
to 1:45.
Yeah, 12:30 to 1:45. And then it used to be 2:15. But they had too much time in there. They had 30 minutes. And so they moved it so that it was 15 minutes to give more time to the common hour. But I'm just like, man, that's so hard as a student athlete. I feel mm-hmm. like, and I do this a lot, I will leave every Tuesday
early.
That's like a huge, that's like a Central College fix that they need to make. The scheduling is egregious. Man.
Well, it hurts athletes a lot.
It does. It damages athletes a lot. And I feel like every Tuesday when I have workout days, I will oftentimes leave early just so I can get there and actually
warm up a little bit
because otherwise I got to go on. I don't want to go into the workout cold turkey, and I also don't want the guys to be waiting for me. So,
well, and you're gonna, I mean, you got to deal with like injury prevention stuff
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
Like, you mess around with enough of those Tuesday workouts, you're gonna be hurt.
Exactly. So, I have like a good, I mean, I have a solid 15 minute routine that I like to do that's like, it's got some activation drills. I mean, everybody should be doing it, but not everybody needs to do it like I do. Cause my,
right,
just the way that I've been doing it wrong for so long
mm-hmm.
that I've noticed like my form has been bad for so long. And I don't know, maybe there's other runners out there that experience this, that my body likes to revert to using the wrong muscles all the time. And so I have to constantly use my activation drills as kind of a reminder to wake up certain muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it'll get easier with time, but I mean, it took me 7 years of that to, well, let's see, 2 years junior high, 4 years of high school, and 2 years... almost three. So I mean, we're talking somewhere between probably 8 years before I was able to finally figure out what was wrong with my issues. And so
some of the doctors still haven't figured out all his issues.
No, it's still yet to be said.
They haven't gotten to the brain yet, but they'll get there.
They'll get there one day, and they will figure out all of my issues, and then I seriously do. I have a Google Doc with like all of my past injuries, current injuries that are like I'm still like I just like manage, like my T-band syndrome and like my like shin splints that still kind of comes and goes here and there. Like the stress fractures are gone. Mm-hmm. The shin splints comes up every once in a while. Like, okay, so for instance, I ran for almost like 18 days in a row. And like that, I need to take a day off. So I'm going to take a day off tomorrow because I noticed today during the workout or today during the run, I was like, oh, they're starting to hurt just a tiny bit.
Hey, Randy, I do not want to take away from all your injuries and your Google Doc of them, but I also know what you have on that Google Doc, and we could do an entire episode just talking about Randy's issues.
Let's just read through Randy's Google Doc.
Dude, we could.
For the podcast.
No, not for a podcast. That'll be a future podcast.
Remember when we used to do whiteboard quotes?
Yes.
Oh, that was a gosh. Good, I like that second. Well,
you guys don't, again. You left. So we don't do the whiteboard quotes anymore.
Well, we just haven't done that since like season
one. We don't have a whiteboard.
Yeah, we got rid of the whiteboard. Actually, we didn't get rid of it. It's still here in my room. I use it as like a magnet board.
I'll share a quote.
Whiteboard quote. I'll see if I can share.
I'm going to share one right now, and you guys are going to love it.
I don't have to mark this episode.
And it's one of my favorite quotes I've ever heard from a very dashing and wonderful man that goes like this. I like you like I like my frosted mini wheats once a day. Quote from Randy Jimenez the third. That is one of the best quotes I have ever heard, and I will stick with it, especially to those who I only want to see once a day. Now, luckily, you two I want to see more than that. But yeah,
that's such a good quote.
That is one of my favorite quotes ever, and I will hold it dear to my heart.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's a good one. We got to bring that one back.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. There's also
I like you like a lot my like my frosted mini wheats once a day, cuz I eat them every try to eat them about every dinner spell.
Get the There's also there's vitamins. Also might lactate, but that's also that was from Asa Gibble. So
oh my god.
There's more on there, but yeah. We can bring back quotes. We can all think of quotes.
What a great
quotes.
Start. That is a quote.
What a great start.
That's in my quote book. I said that to Larson at the very beginning of this semester.
Yep.
I said, what a great start.
What a great start.
And we started saying
and
that.
It's just we become a meme, like, and I love it.
3-4 weeks.
What a start. And what a start. Let's. What a start.
What a great start.
To having Kenny back.
What a good time.
What a start.
What a good time.
It's been good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the outro too?
Gosh, dude. I don't even remember how to do it.
Hit it.
I mean,
are we wrapping it up?
Yeah, we can.
We should probably wrap it up. Kenny's got to drive home.
We can wrap it up. It's getting a little
getting
late.
It's past his bedtime.
This is a late podcast for us guys. You don't know.
I mean, 10:15. Let's define late.
Hey, my mom listens to this.
Let's just remember the all-nighter we pulled.
Let's talk about late. I mean, it wasn't.
Oh, we should do another one.
Oh, that was terrible.
What do you mean it wasn't all night? It was like 4 o'clock in the morning before we went to bed.
A Carolina Reaper is not in my cards.
It's in my cards.
I can't do it.
I'm doing it.
It hurts so bad.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to text Acer right now that I remember he needs to order those.
Oh, that was so. You remember that, Kenny? You remember how painful that was?
That was awful.
That was
Listen,
agonizing.
Here's the thing. Hey, I'd be down to do it. I'd be down to do it again, which I'm going to regret saying. I'd be down to do it again if we did it on the podcast.
We do it on the podcast.
That was a missed opportunity. Gosh. For that much pain,
yeah.
To not get any content
out of
that.
I think there was content. There was definitely content.
There was content in the trash can.
And the bathroom.
And the bathroom.
I will tell you, I left mid-podcast.
I remember that.
There was content. I'm just telling you, we were still suffering at that point in time.
Oh, you were.
I was suffering really bad.
That was so bad.
Gosh, I remember that. That was terrible because I went outside and I was like trying to breathe the cold air and it like wasn't helping at all. Kenny's like power walking down the beast mall. I'm like crawling.
Here's the thing. Before we do that again, if we're gonna do that, we gotta figure out video.
We would do video for that one. We could figure that out. That wouldn't be that hard. Just like a YouTube channel for the 22.
Yeah. We need to do that.
Yeah,
that's a good
idea. We need to.
Maybe we'll put that in the poll. Yeah, what we would do probably would be best to have Asa Gip chaperone us. Mm-hmm. So that like someone can see it.
I'm calling Asa Gip. Hang on. We're gonna get him on here.
He probably is not gonna. Well, he might answer, but
I hope he answers. This is our first phone guest.
Hey, buddy.
Podcast?
This is our first phone guest. Hey, we're recording right now.
Okay.
I just want you to know that Kenny has agreed to do another one.
Another one?
He has agreed to do another Carolina Reaper. And you said that you need to do one more. Randy said he would if we do it.
I don't remember that.
So you need to order them, right?
I'm searching it right now.
Sweet.
Oh, boy.
Can you just send us off with a little ace of wisdom? You got anything for us?
Regarding what?
Just anything. Just send us off with a little ace of wisdom.
A little ace of wisdom.
Carolina Reapers are hot. they're not fun to eat, but we're going to do them like we've all done before. Hoorah, hoorah. Go Dutch.
Go Dutch. Thank you, Asa. I'm so glad that we got our first phone call, even though I called you, but that's not the point. But yeah, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Just let me know when you order those.
Have a good night, pal.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was legendary.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Just
play the outro. That's all we need.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. We are going to all be doing Carolina Reapers, recording it and posting it online.
Don't forget, subscribe, like the Instagram, download,
comment all that good on jazz. The Instagram.
Yeah, don't forget to look for that poll that I'm going to put like on the Instagram.
Like the post. Please.
All that good jazz.
Please.
And
like it for Kenny.
Yeah, like it for Kenny. Like it for Kenny.
He's back.
We got a couple of good guests coming up, too. So
yes.
Stay tuned for that, because this is coming.
We're trying.
So
we're working
enjoy
on
this
it.
Special episode that we're dropping on April 19th.
Yes.
Right?
April 19th. April 19th.
I will have it ready.
Let's go.
All right, boys.
Yes, sir.
Without further ado, I'm Ryan Jones.
I am Nathan Larson.
And I'm Kenny Cronin.
And this has been The Other 22.
Yeah, baby! Woo!
Ciao.
I love it here.
Go Dutch.
Kenny's cute.
Oh my gosh.
What's the point of outro music if we're not gonna...
And...